We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
LeBron is not coming back here. Not on my fucking watch. Gee, you're muted.
Are you muted? I heard you fine. I don't think you're muted. Fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
560's own Alex Solana. Solana, how you doing today?
I was terrible introduction, but at least it was better than Alf on every handle kind of ever been on, which is surprising.
I'm back.
So thank you. I'm good. Why isn't LeBron coming to Miami on your watch?
No, he's not coming back after he disrespected the fan base, disrespected Dwayne Wade, disrespected the organization. Forget him. I don't give a shit. He's past his prime. Lost in the first round for the first time in his career. We don't need him.
That may be the first time a Heapy podcast has started without a welcome, welcome, welcome. Because I'm muted. So the only people that heard that were Frankie and Solana. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heapy podcast. I'm your host, Ricardo Navas. And we have a lot to talk about, as Frankie just alluded to. I guess we got to start there. By the way, shout out to Twisted Tapioca, who extended their tier one subscription here on Twitch. We appreciate that kind of love, especially to Twisted, was pretty much a day oneer around here. So we appreciate, we respect that. As I said, while I was muted, I'm rocking the 2013 snapback in honor of LeBron. Because you know what? I don't know. Pat said the key's under the mat. You know what I mean? So there's hope. There's always hope. You know, there's always hope. So we got lots to get to today. I want to thank our YouTube audience as always. And if you're not subscribed, please do so. That helps us a ton. The algorithm is our mortal enemy more than any other thing. It's the algorithm that we fight. So if you hit subscribe, that helps us in ways that you can't even imagine. So shout out to you guys. Shout out to Twitch audience. Shout out to the pod audience. You guys are OGs. If you're not subscribed on Patreon, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat for some extra pods that we do on Locker Room, some other little extra content. We're going to be planning a watch party for one of the playoff games. I'll put a poll up to see which one you guys want to do. And also, I'm going to put up a poll, but like a topic where you guys can pick our next podcast topic. So you guys, whatever you guys want to talk about, you know, you can dictate the show. So that's on our Patreon page, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. Frankie, you don't want LeBron back. So let's give the audience a little bit of backstory as to what happened. Dan Le Batard did a whole 24 hours of content. And in that 24 hours of content, 20 minutes of it was interviewing Pat Riley. With shout out to Ryan Cortez, who asked the tough questions, including what does Pat smell like? In which Pat's answer, Pat referred to himself as a boomer, which is just, that's not really a boomer thing to do. Right, Solana? Boomers don't call themselves boomers.
No, he doesn't. They don't. And at least he's self-aware, right? Like, I can appreciate the Godfather for being self-aware and being who he is.
Pat self-identified as a boomer and then also said that he smells like Old Spice, which honestly surprises me. I thought he would smell like Creed Aventus or like some expensive cologne or something. So Old Spice is that was a little stunner. That was a little, I mean, some of us smell like Old Spice. Pat, you could do a little better than that. Shout out.
Pat's got jokes, though. He's got jokes, you know? I like that.
I think Pat's one of the most charismatic people in sports. Like, that dude, I mean, if I had to pick anybody to have, like, a glass of wine with, I mean, maybe after Dwayne, it's Pat. Or maybe even before. I mean, that dude's just interesting. Like, I want to hang out with that guy.
I'm very surprised there's not, like, five U.S. soccer women's team.
Oh, Kristen Press. Yeah, no, Kristen Press is number one. Yeah, Kristen Press is my, like, celebrity crush. I crushed. By the way, they play tomorrow. Shout out to the women's national team. I boycotted the men's national team. I did not watch.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact, chat.
We know.
Fun fact, chat. Gianni gives me shit and gives a lot of us shit anytime we're tweeting about any other game while we're going to be on a hangover time, whatever.
Yeah.
This motherfucker tweeted about the U.S. women's soccer, which they're great. He tweeted about them from the Heat Beat account.
That was a mistake. I thought I was on my personal because I was dual screening. No, but see, Frankie, the reason is because if you're on hangover time, I don't want people thinking that you didn't watch the game. I don't want thinking that you're watching that Jazz guy on the Marlins, right? I want people
at halftime.
I know. I can't talk because I used to live tweet Raptor games at halftime of Heat games, and everybody would get mad at me. So I understand. But yeah, I mean, Kristen Press is number one on people I would like to have a drink with after. Then Pat and Dwayne.
Put some respect on Jazz Chisholm, like that Jazz guy from the Marlins. Jazz like, guy. Come on,
is his
bro.
Name Chisholm?
Chisholm.
That sounds like a
fake Jazz Chisholm. Hey, he's the next superstar in South Florida. Like, put really, a little really respect.
He's really good.
They said that about Tua too, good. And they said that about Tannehill. I've heard that a lot.
But Tua's played nine games. Don't do that.
I heard that about Jacory Harris. I've heard that a lot.
Well, Jacory Harris
fans. That's Canes fans. Canes fans are a different breed.
Jacory Harris was the GOAT. Like, I don't know what you're doing there. He was the GOAT.
I'll never forget, like, my brief 1 year period where I watched Canes football. I remember when he got hurt, everybody hated him. And then the day he got hurt, everyone's like, no, we need him. I was like, what happened? I thought y'all hated him.
Stephen Morris.
Oh, God.
Legend.
fuck Canes football. Kind of going back to the Riley thing. So Riley does the Dan Le Batard show, the whole 120 minutes or whatever. And then in there, he said Billy Gill asked some sort of question about Dwayne, I think it was. Billy asked a Dwayne question, and Pat responded. Pat kind of took over and said, for LeBron, there's a shiny key under the mat, right? And very famously, when Dwayne Wade left to the Bulls, you know, the Heat, I think, put out an ad, right, Solana? Or Frankie? I think Solana's frozen.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was in the Herald, right?
Yeah, they put out an ad, the key's under the mat.
When D-Wade and... Right.
So Pat kind of went back to the well, got $525K, which is, you know, Solana, that's really interesting to me because, like, you know, and I know that they've buried the hatchet. I mean, I think anyone in South Florida, like everybody like here knows that they're good. But it was like kind of like a public reckoning of Pat doing that, coming off LeBron's first round loss, coming off them playing each other in a playoff series in the finals, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's ever coming back here, but it's interesting. Like, it was so fucking Riley to do that.
Yeah, it was. Ken, Frankie, could you tell I wasn't paying attention to the question? Yes. like 30 seconds ago? Yeah, like literally was totally zoned out. No, I'm with you, though. I'm with you. I don't think this happens, but I like Pat Riley just saying that. Like, it shows that he's gotten over it. And, you know, we're past the point where we're still mad at him. We're past the point where, and this is weird considering last year I did a whole Chronicles of Petty, like, segment. And I was ripping LeBron in the finals. And I said things I should never say about a human. But with all that being said... like I'm with Pat. Like, if LeBron wants to end his career here, it would be effing awesome, wouldn't it? Like, it would be. Why not? Leave the door open. Leave it up to LeBron. Why not?
I think we know what this is about. More so, it's more so like they're going to retire his number eventually. Nobody's worn it since he's been gone, and it's just more about making amends in the media. He really hasn't said much about LeBron. since 2014. So that's really what it's about. He's been open about wanting to play with his son when his son gets to the league. And we know something. One thing about Pat Riley is he's not going to have a draft pick when it counts. So there's nothing really to say about this.
Yeah, I think it's a whole lot of nothing. I just think there was like kind of a little bit of significance to that. And also like they, you know, if you like between Pat and LeBron, like the Heat and LeBron teams have like run the league for the last like 10, 15 years. I saw a stat. It's like the first time in like 20 plus years that a non-Spurs, Lakers, Heat or Warriors team is going to make the finals, right? Like that's an insane run of dominance by really, I mean, a lot of that was LeBron, right? Like, especially on the Heat, but it was also Dwayne and Pat and all that and the Lakers as well. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's really, they're...
And Udonis.
And James Udonis Jones.
What is on all six
and,
of them.
And James Jones. Listen, James Jones.
Happy birthday, UD, by the
happy
way.
Happy birthday, UD. Yeah. 6'9", nice. Shout out to my best friend, Belen. It's her birthday, too. Shares a birthday with Udonis. That's GOAT territory. And I don't know. I liked him doing that. I think it's character development for him to do it publicly. I remember when Pat and Dwayne kind of buried the hatchet at Henry Thomas's funeral. And Pat's really a sentimental dude. And I think people maybe on the outside look at him as this extremely callous, calculated godfather figure, which he is. But he's also really emotional. And I think we've seen with his decision making over and over again, for as callous as he can be, he's really emotional. And I'm sure that, you know, they both lost longingly. I don't think it happens. I do like him leaving the door open, and I do think that that kind of and by the way, that could be a move to kind of mend clutch relationships as well. Have they had a clutch client?
Was Dion clutch? Wasn't he?
Maybe Dion, but that couldn't have gone well.
Yeah, that's not a great example.
Was Norris? I know Justice was Rock Nation,
right?
And I think Justice was their only Rock Nation. But by the way, shout out to Justice Winslow, father to be.
Yeah.
Shout out to Justice. Justice better.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Posted on his Instagram today. Having a kid. He took pictures at Matheson Hammock. I recognize that. I paddleboard there.
And people say he couldn't finish.
Apparently she was a former Heat dancer. I was like, does this happen often? And then Brass said, well, he learned well from Coach Spo. Never say Justice wasn't coachable.
You guys still follow Justice Winslow on Instagram?
Yes, absolutely. He's one of my favorite players in the league. I love him.
Yeah, I know. We're all like we love Justice Winslow, and I do. By the way, I'm not hating on Justice, but he's not like a fun Instagram or Twitter follower. Like no, every now
fun,
and then
he used to be a fun Twitter follow. He used to like lay waste to Twitter. It was great.
Right. He would go on tangents, yeah. And they were great. But man, like that was one of those guys where after a while, I was like, all right, I'm done. I had to unfollow you. Had to unfollow him.
I still follow Josh. Like, I still follow Jay Rich.
Yeah, me too.
He's cool, though. He's cool.
G, to answer your last question, yeah, no heat relationship with the clutch. Dion was the last guy.
Yeah.
I think Dion and LeBron might have been the last guy, too, before Dion.
Yeah, so, I mean, that makes total sense. And I'm sure that, you know, it's a strategic move too, right? Like that's an important and Clutch is expanding its clientele and they're obviously like a powerhouse agency right now. So, you know, that I think it's smart from Pat. Crabsmut Peddler in the chat says Justice went 1-for-20 at the rim.
He still has better finishing numbers than Dion.
I'm not to be a little self-involved, but like, and I think it kind of is relevant right now with the Booker thing. You know, like, I think people go after us on Twitter a ton because of the Justice Better thing. And honestly, like, we deserve it, right? Like, if he's going to be that flagrantly bad and unplayable in a play-in game, right? After all the shit we talked and after we made a fucking song and t-shirts, we got to eat it, right? Like, I can't sit here and be like, nah, yeah, whatever. We ate it. I want to remind people that it's not like any of us said that Justice was going to be a fucking multi-time all-star. I think we all agreed that, you know, the high end for him was like an Andre Iguodala kind of role player, right? Like Warriors Iguodala was like the high end.
Yeah, like best case.
Yeah, best case. Like, that's what we said. I know how it came off.
I don't know about that because there were games, but even last year, yeah, the game against the Bucks, where Jimmy didn't play, and he dominated. There was a couple games where Justice dominated, and I remember thinking like, bro, like if this is the justice we got consistently, he could be a multi-time All-Star. So I could be to blame
we
here
all drank the
for
Kool-Aid.
The Justice Winslow propaganda.
But you know, people make fun of us and I'm like, I can't even like the Tyler stuff, Brian, that was Brian, like some of our old heapie tweets are flying out. Those are all Brian's. Chat's making fun of you. They're asking if you're broadcasting from space. Matt Torres ACL, leave him alone. Let him have today.
Leave me alone, man. Leave me alone.
So, I don't know. Just shout out to Justice, I guess. Kind of exonerating ourselves. Well, whatever. We eat it. It's fun. So we all have fun on Twitter. So that's that. I want to get into. So today's like kind of like a news updatey day, right? We haven't done kind of a news pod in a while, and I think that there's a lot of stuff today, right, guys? So I think the Duncan Robinson comments are interesting. He's like, you know, I've had a great experience with the organization. Let's see how this plays out, right? So, and then you know, there was on National Best Friend Day yesterday. Duncan said, He tweeted out, or his podcast tweeted out a picture of him and LeBron guarding each other. And he's like, hashtag National Best Friend Day. So I'm like, you know, if this motherfucker goes to the Lakers, right? I'm going to be mad. And I know he's a restricted free agent, but I've seen restricted free agents screw the Heat. I'm old enough to remember Tyler Johnson's poison pill fucking contract. I know how this works. So I'm a little concerned. I don't like T. Like Carlina and Chad is like, he gone. Solana, I did not feel comfortable with his comments. I was like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. No, I mean, first of all, F you, Duncan, if you go to the Lakers. Like, F you. But, hey.
Because you weren't paying attention.
Why are you laughing, bro? I feel like now Fran is laughing at you, man.
Are you on pain meds? What's going on? How many pain meds are you on right now?
Yeah, that oxy's kicking in real nice to react. It's hard. It is hard.
I did a show once on Benadryl, and I was like slowly deteriorating.
No, I think I'm on a bit of a delay though. I do think I'm on a bit of a delay. No joke, because
I mean you're
like
lagging.
Answering right away.
Chat, is Solana's video lagging? This feels like a. This feels like a bad CNN interview
maybe,
where they're just like, you know, Wolf Blitzer's just standing there. He asked a question. It's like a 2-3 second delay, and then the person, well, you know, Wolf. That's you right now. Do you see Frankie? So I can't tell.
This sucks because I came into today. I came into today's episode saying, all right, like, let's have a good episode. I don't want to slow this down at all. I don't want to be like stupid. Like, let's. And I'm incapable of not just getting in the way of the podcast.
A dial up right now,
bro. If Duncan goes to LA, I'll be pissed.
Papa Snaps in chat.
I will be pissed.
Papa Snaps, who was the winner of our hashtag Pride giveaway yesterday, said Solana streaming in negative 1080p, which is accurate.
Those meds hitting something fierce.
Oh my god, this is fantastic. Damn, yeah, Frankie, Miami can match, right? So that's not an issue. And it's going to depend on how deep Miami wants. Their offseason is going to be very, very interesting because first they're going to have the Andre Iguodala and Goran Dragic option. So one of them is for 19 and the other one's for 15. If they opt into both of them or even one of them, I think that tells us that they're planning a sign and trade, right? And when you sign and trade, I think something that we need to remember as fans is that triggers a hard cap, which is about 5 or 7 or whatever the tax apron is, like a little bit above that, is where your heart. So they're almost right at the salary cap because Bam's extension is about to kick in and Jimmy's contract is a lot, right? So they have their own moving parts. So if they opt into the Dragic thing, I think that may signal that they may not keep Duncan. Because if he commands too much money, that might take him too close to the hard cap if they sign and trade for a guy. Now, They have a couple things, because if they want to opt into Goran and to Andre Iguodala, then they can act as an over-the-cap team, so they have access to a bigger mid-level exception and stuff like that. So that's also something to keep in mind, and maybe that's a scenario where they do bring back Duncan. Maybe they want to they can create up to like $28 million in cap space if they renounce a bunch of dudes, including Duncan. Duncan's cap hold is about $4 million. So that kind of wiggle room, and obviously the Ryan Anderson stretch
provision. I think I saw that if they renounce him, his cap hold will only be like 1.7. So like if they can get a deal in an agreement and renounce him, and they can have more cap space as well.
Yeah. So I mean they have a lot of moving parts. So
but what's like the goal? What is the goal this offseason? Because that's what I think is more interesting. Is it just improving the roster by any means necessary? And that may be Kyle Lowry. Like, is it let's get good enough to get out of the first round? Or is the goal
there's whale? No whale. I think
that's like, the most important question.
I was kind of messing around the other day, and I sent out a tweet about kind of what the Heat can do salary-wise to match in a sign and trade. Now, that's when Kawhi was facing down in Game 7 and Dame had just lost in the playoffs, but
fucking Kristaps.
Yeah, Miami can get to some not insignificant salary if they opt into Dragic and to Andre Iguodala. So, you know, you get 19 from Tyler, you have 15 from Andre, and then your asset Tyler Hero, who's making $4 million next year. Now, all of a sudden, you can cobble that together and trade for a Kawhi Leonard at $36 million, a Damian Lillard at $39 million. You can get up to 80% of that salary when you opt into those guys. So if there's a whale to be had, that's how they're going to do it. Other than that, I think Lowry makes sense. I think he wanted 2 for $60. They can probably get to the $30 million of cap space. It'll be tricky. It might cost them Duncan, but they can get it. So, Solana, to answer your question.
That's crazy though, man. Like, I get it. Kyle Lowry helps this team. This team probably doesn't lose in the first round.
There you go.
Oh, lights turned on. You're absolutely crazy if you think paying Kyle Lowry 2 for $30 for the next, what, two seasons is worth it. Like, I for what? But it doesn't make you a championship contender. Needs,
point of attack defender and rim pressure, right? So you get a real point guard who can defend. You get a real point guard that can get to the rim. He can also shoot. Your shooting was pretty abysmal last season. He can shoot off handoffs. He can shoot off catch and shoot. He can shoot off the bounce, right? So you have a guy who can shoot from a lot of places. The 2 years, I think, is important because the 2 years expires when Jimmy's contract expires. And that's, to me, what matters most, because your window is now with Jimmy Butler. And I don't really see if in the free agency class who's a better option, right? There's John Collins and Will Barton and all that. But I mean, who saw John Collins last night get absolutely fucking roasted, right? And I don't think John really addresses their issues either. So, and it's like, Solana, what I was talking to Tiff about was they, and I love Bronx Joker in chat saying they need a point guard and a power forward. Absolutely. Kyle solves the point guard issue, and then you can probably trade for a power forward or figure what you can out or get one of them on your exceptions. They're not going to have perfect options, right? They're not. Like, the perfect option is Kawhi Leonard, but he's not. Probably that's not happening, right? Or Damian Lillard. Right? Those guys aren't happening. Probably not, right? LeBron's not coming. Like, all that stuff. So you got to be like, okay, well, what's plan B and C, right? And we got to, you know, teams, listen. I think a lot is said about like bubble fluke and bubble guppy and all that bullshit, right? Teams got to get lucky sometimes to make a finals. I think the Blazers, the year that they made the conference finals, things broke very, very well for them, right? The Lakers last season got a pretty cupcake schedule, right? So it's just some teams get good breaks and they make the finals, right? And look, the Rockets had a chance because Kevin Durant got hurt and they totally wet the bed, but teams get chances, right? There are chances that come up. You got to catch yourself in the game. You got to get yourself in the conversation. And I think that Kyle gets you in that conversation. And it won't make them a dominant 66 win one seed, but I think that they're fucking good. And if Bam gets improvement and if Jimmy has another all NBA season, Frankie, who's to say that that's not enough? You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I'm at.
I mean, like, the big piece, Kyle, I think Kyle will be a big piece. Absolutely. He would help, make the plays easier for Jimmy and for Bam. Bam really missed that pick and roll threat, the passer that make creates for him to make the job, his life a lot easier. And like you said, he's a good shooter. He spaces the floor. He helps Jimmy out when Jimmy's on the ball. He's a great screener as well. He can do everything on the court. You know, he's good at everything. The age does bother me, but a 2-year deal, that's not a bad deal. He'll be an expiring the year after. And like you said, it matches up with Jimmy. So it works. You're going all in with that. But I think, you know, Kyle would be a big piece to help get them more consistent and get them back to being a 50 win team. But the rest of the roster is what I really think needs to get focused on. There's too many bad defenders, not enough athleticism. They need to address all that. They need to get stronger. They need to get bigger. They need to get faster and help Bam out. Bam's the only athletic guy they have right now. Even Jimmy's not a really athletic guy.
No.
And that makes the game easier. They don't get to run in transition. They don't get easy buckets like that. Their best defenders are old and slow. They need speed.
I like what Zach said, that they got to add more depth along with Kyle, because I do think that was an issue this season.
Yeah, quality depth. But that's where you're probably going to have to use the sign and trade market so you can get the mid-level exception. You also have your biannual exception that you didn't use last year.
Yep.
And you have options, but you have to target the right guys. You know, they didn't find the right guy until Deadman came in the midseason. So they have to target these guys correctly and find these guys.
Mr. Deadman to you.
Mr. Deadman, of course.
Mr. Deadman.
No disrespect.
Mechanic is, like, he's coming back. Solana, right? Like, Deadman's coming back. He seems the most gung-ho about it.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't hear him.
Did we lose Alex? Alex is up in space. Can't hear him. I can't hear Alex. There you go.
Yeah, now we can.
I would hope so. Can you hear me now? I would hope so. Nice. I would hope so. Like, I think he fit in well with the team, and he seemed to like playing in Miami, which I like. Yeah. Like, I like guys that like being here, you know? Like, so I mess with that. But you sold me on Kyle Lowry, honestly. I just, like, if that's the best we can do, then it's almost like,
this free agency class sucks, though.
Why not wait? Like, just wait and Right. No, I'm with you. But things move and things shift in the NBA and players get disgruntled. And like 1 year ago, the way things are looking now aren't the way things were looking 1 year ago at the exact same point, you know, obviously with the pandemic. But man, like just wait it out. Wait it out and do what you can to stay flexible, which is what the Heat have done and they've had success with in the past. A month before Jimmy Butler joined the Heat, nobody in their point was envisioning a trade for Jimmy Butler. Like, it wasn't in the cards. The summer before it was, and the Heat weren't able to get it done. Philadelphia ends up getting him. But at that moment, when the Heat traded for Jimmy Butler, like, nobody was seeing that happen. And what happened? Jimmy Butler wanted to come to Miami. Like, I'd rather stay flexible than tie myself down $30 million, 2 years, to a guy that's going to make this team better. I'm not saying he won't. Like, everything you said, I agree with, but going to be 37, 36 years old, I think. He's 35 right now. I think he's going to be 36 years old. You're going to pay him $30 million. Is he going to stay healthy? Like, so I don't know, man. That's tough. That's really tough.
I think the Kyle thing, and I put a poll up on our Twitch chat. What do you want, to stay flexible or a win now trade? Now, let's remember the Jimmy Butler trade was an offseason thing. It wasn't a midseason trade. It wasn't because so they don't have the draft equity to do
and,
anything.
And I might be. Yeah, I was just going to say I might be remembering that incorrectly. Like maybe that, like that throughout that entire offseason, it was a push for Jimmy Butler. I may be remembering that incorrectly, by the way.
They didn't really have much other than, you know, fucking. And they needed a third team.
Right. And I still think what the Heat and basically made Josh Richardson turn into Jimmy Butler, right? Like basically, right.
But they don't have Alex. So like if, you know, somebody gets mad tomorrow, right? If X star gets upset and like if Dame midseason says, fuck it, I don't want to be here. It gets tough for the Heat because you need to plan for that. So you need the salary to trade midseason. In the offseason, it's easier because you're like, okay, I opt into Dragic, I opt into Andre, and there's my salary, but, right? Or you have to plan for that. So they might have to.
But which is my point, I think, you know, get make this offseason about becoming flexible. Add pieces so that salary would work in the event of a disgruntled superstar, which is something that he'd have done in the past. Like, the only. Right. That's the only down part, right? Like you're basically wasting Jimmy Butler's prime. Yeah. What I'm picturing is you get Kyle Lowry and maybe you're able to do what Frankie's saying, right? Add depth, bring in, I don't know who it is, but whatever. You're trading Tyler, you're adding players, you're getting younger, you're getting longer. But at the end of the day, your three best pieces are Jimmy, Bam, and Kyle Lowry. And look, as much as I'm a Heat homer on 790 and you know, I have the guts or whatever, that's for real. Like, that team's not beating the Nuggets. I mean, excuse me, that team's not beating the Nets. They're just not. They're probably not better than the Milwaukee team this year.
I totally disagree.
That's not going to be fun. That's not going to be fun for three years.
I think that they were really good this year, and I think that they had a lot of kind of systemic issues in terms of kind of guys took a little bit of a step back in a shortened offseason. I think that that's important. It's not an excuse, but it's just a fact. They looked tired. Duncan looked visibly dead at the end. We talked about this on Hangover Time. Like, the dude would come to set a screen, and then after the action wouldn't do anything, and that's just not who he is. Shmita Smolnik says, gee, you can't be trusted with any Kyle Lowry analysis. It doesn't have to be Kyle. It just has to be a dude that comes in here that addresses their needs and that gives them a shot because they have legitimately when Jimmy's playing at his best, he's a top 10 player in the NBA, right? Bam has that potential to get there. Earlier in the season, I said he was better than Damian Lillard. I have to eat crow on that one. He was not the season, but he has that kind of talent. And you have to say, well, Bam's going to get better next season. Tyler's probably going to get better and will probably be a trade asset. You know, if you re-sign Duncan.
But is okay. Jimmy playing at his best. Like, can we expect?
Well, he was better this year than Bubble Jimmy.
Can we expect this season, that through?
He put up his best season in his career.
Right. Whatever the record was, it like 34-18. Once Jimmy Butler came back, the Heat had like the third best record. Right, like there was definitely a sample size there where Jimmy was playing at an elite level. But when it came to 7-game series versus the Bucks, Heat backs against the wall. Game 3 in Miami, you're down 10 points or whatever in the third quarter. Yeah. Heat need a bucket, and there was nobody to get you a bucket. Nobody, right? Like that was the main problem this year in the playoffs. And is Kyle Lowry? Like Kyle Lowry is a guy that's going to get you a bucket when you need a bucket.
We're not talking about perfect solutions. He's not obviously a Kawhi level alpha guy, but Kyle's a guy that can operate in pick and roll, that can get you into your sets, right? Bam, Frankie mentioned that earlier. Like Bam doesn't have any dude that can give him a pocket pass, a guy that can organize your offense, a really good screener at guard. And Miami loves to run inverted sets, so he can get them going that way. And I think one of the things that kind of got Jimmy going last season was Dragic and Tyler and Duncan setting guard screens for him. And the Bucks, very smartly, were showing and recovering. And the way that you can counter that is with some guard slips, some really aggressive kind of guard pick and rolls. You can kind of work around that. And Kyle's a guy that can attack their drop, not afraid to pull up, good shooter off dribble handoffs, really, really good with the floater, crafty in the lane, can kind of zig around bigger guys. So, yeah, like, is he the perfect fit? No. But I do think that he's a really, really good basketball player. I think that there's obviously some concerns with the age, but he's a dude that I think can help them. And I think that's what you need when you have a guy in his prime like Jimmy. You know, they're not in a perfect situation. They're in a good situation, but they're not in a perfect situation. And these sometimes require imperfect answers, some gambles, some roll of the dice. And Alex, just because they signed Kyle doesn't mean that they give a flexibility. When you sign Kyle, you have a $30 million contract that's going to expire. That's a massive expiring contract. That is 100% tradable. That two-year, Kyle on a two-year deal is 100% tradable, unless he fucking breaks his knee, and even then, right? So it's not that bad. They don't have pick equity, and you cut Kyle and a pick, and Tyler, and if they free up a pick, you can get somewhere. What you got, Frankie?
So one thing about...
Really quickly, Frankie, I just want to interject here. F you for using the break your knee.
My bad.
Somebody who's sitting here with a broken knee.
too soon.
Injury. You had to use broken knee.
Adding, imagine this guy, this ass screening for Bam, getting downhill. That's going to be amazing.
One thing we know about players in this recent NBA since LeBron came to Miami, they like to do player options. So Kyle Lowry, yes, he's 35, but he's also in the time of his career where he wants to win. He probably comes for a two-year, 60 million. That's a lot of money. Yeah, he probably asked for a player option. 2022, we have Kevin Durant as a free agent. All the Nets are free agents. Beals are free agent. If something comes available, what better way than have a guy like Kyle in that win now stage of his career with Jimmy Butler, with Bam Adebayo, ready to recruit for you? Kyle probably helps you recruit like a Bradley Beal or somebody like that, and he could take less to help the team win. And he makes the team better this year. One of the biggest things we need is for Tyler to produce, Tyler to get better. So he can, if he can be that guy or he can be that trade asset, and you need guys around him to seal up his weaknesses. He struggles creating a shot. Kyle can create shots for him. Jimmy can create shots for him. Now you have two guys that are elite on the ball guys who can make the game easier for him, make the game easier for Bam to get better, make the game easier for Duncan if we bring him back. And you have, he's making the game easier for all these guys who don't have that strength, and it makes the team better. You're gonna have more picks available for trades as the year goes, once August 1st hits. We get to that point, we're in a better spot than we are right now. Like I get the point, I get the concern, because he's another guy who's gonna play three quarters of the season just like Jimmy. The health is definitely a concern, so that's why I say you need to hit on the rest of the depth. But he's a big piece that helps the team.
Zay the homie in chat says, why is Frankie grabbing that dump truck?
It's tempting, bro.
That's just tempting. All right, to move off of this, because we have other things to talk about, and it was not my intention to make this a Kyle Lowry show, as much as people may not believe that. Somebody in chat said Dinwiddie might be a nice buy low thing. Spencer,
I love Dinwiddie.
Famously an anime fan, so shout out to Dinwiddie.
Wasn't there like reports by Shams or maybe ESPN ahead of the trade deadline, like Leif, that the Heat were looking to trade for Spencer Dinwiddie?
It was Leif, baby.
Was it Leif? Oh,
here,
my bad, Leif. Lefty, my bad. Leif. Damn, that's make messed up. I'm not
I'll bad. Never my forget bad. When George Sedano on go. Radio before Leif became Leif. He was just Leif on Heat Beat, right? It was a lowly Heat Beat Leif, and George Sedano said, "What are you guys gonna do? Listen to Lefty Leif on Twitter?" And I was like, "That's my guy, dude." We made it. We made it. Shout out to George Sedano. George is a man of the people. You know, George brought a spoon reference to ESPN. He said magical QB world on an ESPN television platform and said, my friend says, and I was like, I don't know if you're friends with Spoon, but I appreciate that. George is one of us, dude. George is one of us forever. I love that guy. That's a homie. George has me under close friends on Instagram, like, so I can see his close friend story. I felt honored,
wow.
Dude.
Yeah, what? Dude. Chad is saying deep.
Yeah, I think so.
I thought Sedano hated me too, and I was like, I guess we're close friends. Let's fucking go.
Chad is saying Depot is out here like Solana.
I think, listen, Alex would probably give the Heat more minutes than Depot.
Hey, man, if you can bring him back for the right cost, if you can bring him back.
No. I think that's run its course. I really think that's run its course.
Depending on the cost, if you can get him for the right cost and there's not a better option, you probably look into
if
that.
If Jimmy doesn't want him here, he ain't coming here. Simple as that.
I mean, that's what they said last time, and he was wearing a Heat jersey for 4 games.
For 4 fucking games. All right, let's move on. I have a couple of things I want to get to. I first want to talk about the Bucks-Nets series and how it relates to the Heat, and then we're going to talk about LeBron switching to number 6 again. I'm watching this Bucks-Nets series, and the Bucks suddenly can't hit a three. It's very frustrating. The Bucks suddenly don't want to use Giannis as a screener anymore, which drives me fucking crazy. Bryn Forbes is missing shots. I don't know what's going on. I get really upset. I don't like it, Frankie. It's bothering me. I get upset, and everyone's making fun of the Bucks for what they're doing. And I Budenholzer coached a magnificent series against the Heat, and he looks like a fucking pompous dumbass against first-year coach Steve Nash. And it bothers me. It bothers me because Miami looked completely incompetent, and their defense held Milwaukee to enough. But I don't understand what the Bucks are doing. It bothers me as a Heat fan that I gotta watch this happen. So I don't know. I kind of wanted your thoughts. I wanted to talk about this a little bit because it's just bugged me.
Brooklyn's just a much more talented team than Miami.
But they're not on defense. Like they're winning with defense. Blake Griffin's guarding one on one. Like he's like bullying fucking Brook Lopez and drop. I'm just like, I don't get it.
But they.
Yes, I
put it in the chat.
Yeah, I put it in the chat.
You put it in the chat, bro.
I put it in the chat. There literally was a pre-show meeting. Can you guys hear Solana? I'm trying to get his new camera set up.
Solana's the Stugatz of the pod today.
Yeah.
Super Bowl week.
He's out of his comfort zone. So yeah. So Frankie, I'm kind of confused by this whole. Milwaukee thing.
First of all, the Nets defense was historically bad this year. Yes, they still are much bigger than Miami. They have a bigger, more athleticism. Bruce Brown is a legitimately defensive player at guard position. They can bother Drew Holiday at the point of attack. They can they have guys to throw at Giannis and bother him. And Giannis doesn't scare them. Like they can throw Blake. They can throw KD. KD's a really good defender as well. And they're not hiding Harden off the ball, so they don't have somebody to pick at. And offensively, you know Brooklyn's going to score. So it can't be a half court game. Bucks want to play a faster paced game than they're ready for. Brooklyn just matches up really well with them. They have guys for answers for all those guys. And Drew and Middleton are shit in the bed.
Chris and Drew are shitting the bed. It's and they're kind of like being goaded into really shitty kind of plays. Like I think Zach Lowe, Meathan's going to make fun of me, but he brought up the good point of like, he'll like force switches into disadvantages, which is not something they were doing against the Heat. They were specifically hunting Miami's bad defenders, and they're just not doing that with the Nets. So I don't know. It's been incredibly frustrating to watch. I don't understand why teams go from suddenly being really like very well prepared and good to all of a sudden not knowing how to do things. Somebody in chat said Nets are playing great defense. Give them credit. Yeah, they are. They're playing good defense, but they're not a good defensive team. And Milwaukee is not attacking the Nets pressure points, and they're making the Nets life easier than it should be. And Frankie, like that to me is what I don't get as I try to fix Solana's audio and video. Well, I'm working on that, but like, they're not going with Giannis as a screener. They're not going at the Nets bad defenders. It's just, it's weird. There we go. Solana's back.
Let's go.
We got it.
But the Nets also have much better passers as well offensively. Defensively, they have guys, veterans. Veterans know how to play. Kevin Durant is a really good defender, man. He's a really good team defender. He helps make that team good. He doesn't have to score 30 a game to win games. He can just quarterback the defense from the back line and make things a lot easier. And then you have Bruce Brown who's wreaking havoc up the head. They are only hiding Kyrie on defensive, and Kyrie's not even a horrible defender.
He's just he's a selective one.
Yeah, he's a selective one. He can be good. When he played against Steph Curry in the finals every year, he was giving him a good defense, a good contest.
Yeah, let's let it on good. It was okay.
It was good for Steph Curry. Come on, it was good.
It was okay.
I remember game one. He blocked him to win the game. So
it's just, I don't know, man. Solana, it just gets me upset because like it makes me feel like the Heat went out sad. Like, it just makes me sad. That series it makes me sad. It's like, damn, these motherfuckers really folded.
You didn't realize that? What
I know, but
they got swept.
But I thought the Bucks were like gonna win the title. I'm like, damn, this team's fucking great.
Man, they're still fucking the Bucks.
I thought they fixed it.
No, man, it's a Wisconsin staple. I'm a Green Bay fan. We fucking look good against somebody and we get smoked against somebody else. That happens every year in the playoffs. Every Milwaukee team, every Wisconsin team, this is who they are.
I don't know.
You're from Milwaukee? You're from Wisconsin?
No.
Yes, Frankie Garcia is from Wisconsin.
I'm from Massachusetts.
I am. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know. I could have sworn you just said you're from Wisconsin.
No, I said that's they are from Wisconsin.
I'm going to Wisconsin on Friday. I'm going to Madison, Wisconsin. If I find a Hispanic person, I will give you $100.
there is actually a Cuban population in Wisconsin.
Why?
I don't know. I saw that one time.
Do they know it's a blue state?
I have no idea.
It's fucking
What's Jay happening, Jack, though?
Let's go.
What's happening that's weird is, and I'm with you, G, like it's depressing to watch, where when the Bucks went on these strong runs, the Heat had zero answer for it, right? Like they just had zero answer, had zero get up. They were unable to put points together, to put runs together to get back in the game. And you wouldn't expect that from the Bucks against the Nets. Like I thought the Nets were going to win this series in five, but I still thought these games were going to be close. And with what the Bucks did to the Heat and the way that they were able to go on those like crazy runs and just hit threes, make shots from all over the place. And Giannis really was imposing his will, whether we want to give him credit for it or not. Like they haven't found an answer to like KD just going off and being KD. Also, did people forget KD is really good, right? Like everybody's like, oh, wow, Kevin Durant. Like during the radio show, people are like, man, I forgot how good KD was. Like maybe you haven't been watching, but like when Kevin Durant is healthy, like he's really good, you know? But it's shocking to see the Bucks kind of just like they're getting their face bashed in, and they have nothing. They have no answer for it at all. Nothing.
So
in the first quarter, game two was the first quarter. It was Durant, Kyrie back and forth. They had more than 17 points. The Bucks finished the quarter with 17 points. It was insane.
I'm seeing like trends this playoff of like, so the Heat were over helping on Giannis. The Heat were like, okay, well, we're going to do. And I think the Heat are unique because the Heat are one of the few teams that I think like to get into rotation. I think they're best when they're flying around. They don't want to be individual one-on-one guys. They want their defenders flying around, being in rotation, moving, deflecting. That's
also because they can't guard anybody.
Yeah, they can't. So that's why they're comfortable in rotation. Like if you get them in rotation, they're okay with that. Partly, and also they've fucking fire drilled it all year because guards were going to the rim at will and they had to help and recover and all that stuff.
Yeah.
What teams are doing, what the Nets are doing to the Bucks and what other teams are doing, like I think it's interesting how Jokic is being defended by both Nurk and Ayton. They're just like, okay, we're going one-on-one. We're going to be on this island. We're not going to send a lot of help. And if Jokic beats us, he beats us. And the Nets are kind of doing the same on Giannis. They're really not sending a ton of help. They're not getting in rotation. They're kind of staying home on the shooters. And that Miami did not. Miami was like, we are sending a ton of fucking help whenever we can, and we're going to scramble and rotate. And they look like shit for it. And, you know, all year they were good at it and they weren't in the playoffs. Now the Nets are staying home on the guys. They're doing all their things. And I don't know. It's just interesting to me how that's kind of a trend. Jokic as well. The Blazers did it that way. And I mean, credit to them. I mean, Jokic had a couple games where he had like 16 points or something, right? So, and he'll bludgeon you most games. But I mean, as long as you don't let the other guys get theirs. So I thought that's kind of been an interesting thing that the Nets have done that Miami didn't do. And Miami not a team that really does that. Miami really tries to make it hard for the stars, and it's kind of been the opposite. So I just wanted to get into a little bit of that. Last thing real quick before we go, because we're running on time. Proud of us getting 50 minutes of content out of a nothing week. Good for us. LeBron is changing.
You said this was a big week too.
I did say it was. I mean, it kind of was. I mean, the Duncan thing was last week.
Especially one-third of the cast is giving you absolutely nothing today.
Oh, yeah, like, you're not working. So. Your thing's not working. Frank, yeah. Listen, I think this has been a good performance. This feels like Jimmy in the finals. Frankie's Jimmy.
Thank you.
I want to talk about LeBron changing back to number six. And I want to be a little self-involved. And everybody knows I love the sound of my own voice and being self-involved. So this is not news to anybody. Frankie's not.
Say it, boss man.
Best Man 99. I hate that. That's the worst bit. I hate it. Do I feel like a boss? I don't think I'm a boss. Do I feel like a boss?
He's wearing the championship hat.
It's that you try so hard. You try so hard not to be. Yeah. You try so hard not to be the boss.
Yeah.
That it's like obviously trying not to be the boss. So it's easy to make fun of you for not. For being a boss.
You see through me. Yeah. I want to be like the cool boss. That comes in
he's like the parent that's like, I'm not your dad. I'm your friend.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like,
all
right.
I think I've said that to you guys, dad. Too. I said, no, this is, we're all friends. This is a democracy. This is, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, by the way. Hold on. Like, it is.
G would give anything what Alf says.
I work for Alf. I've said this a ton. I work for Alf. Alf says, that's not true. I work for Alf. My favorite is when I forget to pay Alf and Alf texts me like at fucking 6:20 in the morning. Where's my payment? Where's my Alf? God damn, Alf. I haven't even woken up yet. I work for Alf. I'm Alf's employee.
Go ahead, boss man. Go on your rant.
Boss man 99. LeBron James is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. I love him for his tenure in Miami. I think what he's done... off the court is incredible. Solana's yawning. He is a joy to watch. I support him in every decision that he's made except going back to Cleveland and going to the Lakers. The thing of him going to number six, and it made me feel ugly because, yes, obviously he could change whatever fucking number he wants, right? He's LeBron. He could do whatever he wants. But as a fan, as a Miami fan who feels like we were never appreciated, this is like the only time I'll like be a super sports fan. I'm like, man, that shit was ours. You're going to give that to somebody else? You tramp. What the fuck? That was for us. Six was ours. 23 was everybody else. That shit makes me feel bad. I don't like it. We got the best years. I don't like that we don't get the best years. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want six. Six is ours. Number six was the apex of LeBron James. That was here. And now he's going that to LA. Fuck the Lakers. They get everything. I can't stand that shit. I don't like it. I like what we had. And
I'm with you.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm gonna get clipped and Lakers Twitter's gonna make fun of me. They always make fun of me. That's just how it is. But I don't know. As a fan, I'm just kind of like, man, that fucking sucks. That was ours. But obviously he has every right to do that. He's an amazing player. He's an amazing dude. I love that guy. You know, I'll slander him on Twitter because it's just sports hate. But fuck, dude. Goddamn.
Gee, I was hoping you would get angry rant. You kind of went whiny rant.
It was whiny rant. No, it's
because you like the guy.
I like LeBron.
You like LeBron. You root for him. It's fine.
I don't root for him.
No, but like you root for him as a person.
I root for him as a person. Like I root for him to like if his like double digit streaks at risk, like I will root for him. I root for him at the individual. I cannot root for him at a team level. And I fundamentally dislike what he did to go to the Lakers because that team was bad and they didn't know that they were getting AD. And he went there and it was just boring for the league. I didn't like that move. I still don't. I hate that they won a title because I still don't think that team's good.
I'm with you, by the way. I bought when the big three formed the 3-6-1 Heat stickers, and I put it on the back of my Dan Carolla Sport from 2009 or whatever, 2011 when I got a car until 2014 when LeBron left. And now you're telling me,
did you rip off
that
six?
LeBron James? I did actually. I have the post on Instagram. If you go to my Instagram, you can see the day that LeBron James left, I ripped off the number. Let me see if I can pull it up here. I ripped off
on Instagram.
No, I mean, whatever. I have a bad Instagram, so whatever. But I ripped off the number six.
There you go.
Can you see it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, shout out the FIU Panthers sticker.
I have the best Instagram of Heat Beat.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. And it's me or Siobhan.
Well, now... Siobhan. Now I think I have the best Instagram.
You just said.
Nah, I definitely have the best Instagram. There's no question.
Your girlfriend's way cooler than you, so that's one thing. And then the rest.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Anyways, really quickly, now in LA, it's number three Anthony Davis, number six LeBron James, number one Kentavious Caldwell Pope. Are you fucking kidding me with that? Like that's the new big. That's the new 3-6-1. Like there was something sacred about 3-6-1 in Miami. It was the best big three of all time.
You have 2,073 followers?
That's not that. That's not that many.
I mean,
like
that's
nothing.
More than me. I mean, I don't have. Goddamn.
I mean, you know, Alf can keep tweeting about how you know local radio's dead, but I mean, clearly it's not that dead. It's gotten me 2,000 Instagram followers.
They think you're Goran Dragic. That's the thing.
It sounds so douchey to say that. Fuck. Like
it,
2,000
it really does.
Is nothing. Yeah.
I mean, I have more Twitter followers than you, so that counts for something.
It does. No, I mean, you guys, I'm on the contrary. Like, why do you think I'm on Miami Heat, bro?
Fuck LeBron for going to number six. I you know, thumbs down, dislike.
Yeah, I don't remember what we're talking about. This oxy is kicking in, man. I have no idea.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.